Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called How to Declutter Your Life with Julie Caraccio. Julie is an award-winning professional life and end-of-life organizer, author, podcast host, and certified life coach. She is passionate about helping support people in clearing the clutter in all areas of their lives and becoming more aware. I am super excited to learn about decluttering your life with Julie. I know that this episode is going to help you in all areas of your life. You know, we're going to talk a little bit. I'll ask her questions for my life too. And so we'll all learn and grow in this journey to decluttering our lives, because there's something beautiful that happens when we can declutter our physical environment. It helps declutter, our mind too, right? If we have less to think about, then it's open to thinking about the things that truly matter to us, right? And so welcome, Julie, to the Launch Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Allison. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. We are grateful for your time and energy and expertise here on the Launch Podcast. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your passion for organization?
Sure. So I started my business in 2009. I am a firm believer of women solopreneurs and entrepreneurs and getting out there, because we're doing it, ladies. And I started my business because I was in a horrible job. I'd moved from Los Angeles to Raleigh. And within 2 weeks, someone said, the consultant said, this is the worst place I've ever worked. So I said, well, what am I going to do? I don't want to just get another job, and let me use this time wisely. So when I was at that business, I created my business. And at the time, it was called Healing Through Organization. I don't recommend a business change, because it's now business name change. It's now Reawaken Your Brilliance. But I thought, what can I do that I'm good at, that I have a good skill set already, and that I'd be passionate about, be excited every morning when I woke up, and that I could make money, right? Because we need to make money. And so I thought back on my life. I was like, wow, well, I can organize and declutter, because I had done that before. I didn't even know that it could be a business or a job. People are like, you're uptight. Come help me. I need help. And so I've been doing it all along. And that's when I came up with, well, this is what I'm going to do.
That's such a great story. Okay, my friends who are listening, take Julie's advice. And so if you are in that stage where you're just like, I'm just not happy with what I'm doing, look back at what people ask you to help them with, because that's a clue. It means you're good at it, right? Mm-hmm. And when we can tap into those things that we're really good at and we're passionate about, there's something magical that happens, right? If we can create income from that, that's even more fabulous. Why not? Okay, awesome. So what would you say is your main passion or purpose in life, Julie?
To support people in being the best version of themselves. And the way I do that is through organization and clearing clutter. I consider myself part of their support team, because if I help them clear their clutter and get organized, then they can share their gifts with the world. And then it's a domino effect.
Lovely. And in that work that you do, what do you think is the biggest benefit to decluttering your physical space?
I would say the biggest benefit is it allows you to focus on what matters most. It also gives you mental clarity. I want you to close your eyes for those listening for a moment. Think about when you're in a space that has a lot of physical clutter. That mentally affects you, but it affects your emotions. It affects your relationship. I work with couples. I know when people are fighting, someone has clutter and someone doesn't. So there are tons of benefits to it.
Isn't that beautiful? And actually, it's funny that you say that, because my husband, he keeps clutter sometimes. And so I'll go into his office and I'll be like, okay, we need to take down every single thing you have, and we need to just clean it out. And so we just did that in our office. And it was beautiful, because he's like, and now it's just very calm and he can focus and he feels better. And I'll do that with my kids too. It's like, okay, you've got stuff on every single surface of this entire room. Let's clean it out. Let's get it feeling better. And then they'll just, okay, how does that feel now? And they're like, oh, it's so much calmer, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we think about that in our lives, you know, there's such a benefit to really taking the time and energy to declutter. I know that you probably have some specific strategies that you do, but overall, what would be some tips that you could offer our listeners to start the declutter
decluttering process. How do you choose where to start? You know, I mean, a lot of times we don't declutter because we don't even know. We're overwhelmed by the thought of doing that organization.
Absolutely. Well, if we're going to look at physical clutter, there are a couple of questions I would say for people where to start. One, is something driving you nuts? Are you, when you go in your closet in the morning and you can't figure out what to wear, does that drive you crazy every morning? Or maybe there's an urgent need. You can't find your keys to get out to the office. I know most of us are still telecommuting, but that's going to change. And you're late, or your kids are late for school because you can't find the keys. Then you need to start there. Or perhaps you have a deadline. You're remodeling the garage. You know, these really cool cabinets coming in. And you know, okay, they're coming in July 1st. I need to get the garage taken care of by July 1st. So those are just a couple questions. And then again, if there's something urgent that needs immediate attention, for example, if you're not paying your bills on time and your mortgage, then you need to get the office cleaned or whatever the system is that you have set up to pay your bills.
I love those questions. So is something driving you nuts? You know what just happened, Julie? Can I admit this to you? I'm going to admit it to everybody. I would drive into my garage and the kids had just been piling things up in one side of my garage. And every single time I drive into the garage, I would just get so frustrated. And I'd be like, every time I would just get frustrated, Every single time I get home, the house inside was organized, but that little area of the garage was being, you know, it was a frustration point, right? And so I literally took an hour and a half this just on Monday and I organized it. And my family came home and they're like, whoa, mom, that looks so good. And I felt so much joy from just that little, you know, hour and a half session of getting it clean, because in my mind, it was going to take me a full day and all these different things. And so a lot of times, do you find with your clients, as soon as they say, okay, I'm going to do it, and they tackle it, that they feel so much better?
Oh, absolutely. And I always feel like I've lost 10 pounds when working with a client because it feels so good. But you touched on something in the garage that I want to point out, that this tends to happen in the garage or the basement and attic. I call it the land of indecisiveness. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to throw it in the garage. I don't know if I want to get rid of it. Maybe I want to hold on to it. Let me put it in the basement. Or, you know what? I might need it someday. Let me throw it up in the attic. So you need to be very aware, especially of those areas, because when we don't want to make a decision, that's where we tend to put stuff.
And I love that you bring that up, because I think that's a major issue that we face is I don't know what to do with this. I might possibly want this sometime in my life, but really, do you? Really, do you? And having that conversation with yourself or with somebody in your life. Okay. When you are helping somebody, I have a family member who just loves to collect items because that's what they do. What would you say to that person, right? Their garage is full, their basement is full. They literally can't fit anything else in those spaces. How would you go about having the conversation of, okay, let's get rid of stuff? Because I feel like some people, they attach themselves or their worth to these items. And I don't, you know, I'm fine with getting rid of stuff. But a lot of people, the reason why they've got clutter in their life, whether it's physical clutter or mental clutter, is because they, you know, they have some sort of attachment to that thing. So how would you talk to that person?
Well, first I want to differentiate, because if they're a hoarder, that's a whole other ball of wax. And there's usually a psychological issue going on with that. So if someone is not a hoarder, you hit the nail on the head, and it usually has to do with memories. And the mistake we make is we take this object and say, ah, the memory's in the object, but the memory is in our head. But I also believe it's in our heart, because it's that unit, that memory is where we get tripped up. And the other thing, which might sound odd to you, but I'm going to share it, is sometimes we hold on to bad memories. And that might surprise you, but I have seen it. It's like, even if we have I'll share an example. We were given something as a wedding gift, and I'm no longer friends with the person. And I was like, every time I look at this object, it reminds me of this person, and I'm done. And so I released it. So we will sometimes get in that habit of holding on to things, and wedding gifts are another great example. Oh, well, so what if they come over to the house and it's not there? And so what I tell people is, blame me, have them call me and say, I always tell my clients, it's my fault. put the blame on me, let it go. I mean, what's the likelihood of someone coming over and saying, where is this? And then that to me invites an honest conversation. You know, we didn't use it anymore. It wasn't my style. And that to me can strengthen your relationship. So I'd say mainly it's people, those are the reasons why they tend to hold on to things. Does that make sense?
Yes. That's so true. Yes. So one of the other things that you're really passionate about is helping people kind of feel like their best self mentally too, right? Because sometimes clutter happens in our head. And I know I am definitely one of these people who I hold a lot of thoughts and ideas in my head. And if I don't release them somehow, if I don't get them out of my head, I get really confused or I get frustrated or overwhelmed. And so how do you suggest that our listeners really empty out that mental clutter as well?
I think you need to find something that works for you. A mindfulness practice, whether it's meditation, whether it's journaling. I'm a huge fan of that. And you know, meditation doesn't have to be this stuffy thing where you're like, and holding your fingers, because that doesn't work for everyone. When I mow the grass, I like mowing grass. When I mow the grass, it's a meditative state for me. I get in that zone. I feel like I do a mind dump. So you just have to figure out what it works best for you. Or, you know, as you said, especially as business owners, we have thoughts going on all the time. So I have a big planner and I have different pages where if I have a thought, boom, 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 and then I get it off and then it's not cluttering my mind anymore. So I think having a mindfulness practice is super important. And the other thing I would say for people, especially I see this happen a lot with women business owners, is we can go 24/7 thinking about our business, right? Because there is all, before we started the podcast, you're like, it's on my to-do list. You know how that goes. And so giving yourself a break and taking that mental break and stepping away from the business, because you need that time to renew to be the best that you can be.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because my husband and I actually have a financial planning firm as well. And when we first started that business, we were rebuilding it from the ground up. And I remember in that place, we just had lists upon lists of things that needed to happen. And then we would bring it home. And then we would, you know, there was so much stress attached to that rebuilding process. And we would just constantly be thinking about what we were going to do. And when you add all of that and stress and family, it's not good for a relationship. It's not good for your health, mentally, physically, emotionally. And so being able to turn off your business and letting yourself have permission to say, you know what, at this time, I'm done. And giving yourself that boundary. I've really had to set up that boundary in my life, because otherwise you're getting messages or emails or checking your email or answering calls at all hours, all day long. And my aunt actually had a salon, and she's the one that taught me this. She's like, you need to close the door of your office and be done.
She's
and
right.
It's like, it's a beautiful thing. I love that you said that. So what other things do you think are really important for people to learn and grow in that area?
I would say a couple things that I think is very important is to know that the inner is related to the outer. And what I mean by that is, if you have a lot of physical clutter in your life, I want you to look inside as well, because there's a relationship with that. And if you have a lot of physical stuff, your mind's going to be cluttered, or you're going to have emotion, or it's your spiritual clutter preventing you from sharing your gifts with the world. So start to understand that relationship and be aware. How do I feel as I clear the clutter in my space? Do I feel more creative? Do I feel more inspired? Do I feel more relaxed? And then notice what else comes up for you. I believe everything in life is layers. And so we have these layers, we might let go this layer. So for example, we might be really angry about something, but as we clear some clutter, we realize, oh, I'm really sad. So what is it that I need to do to support myself in being less sad? The other thing I would say that's really important is it has to make sense to you. I'm not a fan of people say this is the only way to do something. No. For instance, in my contacts, they're organized by first name. For whatever reason, that works for my mental brain that way. And most people are like, absolutely not. You need to alphabetize by last name. Okay, well, it works for 80% of the population. I'm part of the 20% it doesn't work for. So it's about finding out what works for you and your lifestyle. If you are fine with taking 10 minutes to clean up before guests come over, fantastic. If you're like, you know what, I don't mind spending an hour because I got to keep it with my life so crazy right now, then accept that. So figure out something that works for you. Don't because so-and-so is doing it, your best friend, or it's on the magazine cover or something. Find what works for you.
I love that. And you know, one of the things I'm thinking of as you're talking about this is I'm a mom and I have two little kids who just
kids
everywhere all of the time. No matter how many times my husband and I kindly ask them to pick up their shoes, they end up in the middle of the living room. And so what would you say to the parents who are frustrated and want like a solution to help train their children to pick up after themselves and stay organized?
That is a great question. And I'm a firm believer of instilling decluttering and organizing skills as kids, because if you don't do that, these are people who come up as adults and have their garage and every other room filled because they haven't been taught the skills. So it's about training. And what, I don't know how old your kids are, but designate a home for the shoes. And so, and I, what I would do, what I love to do for kids is a whole little area. And if they're small, have little coat hangers at their height. Don't have them where they can't reach. Make it fun. If they're really small, put a picture of a coat or put their name. Love those cubby holes. Because remember, we're lazy, inherently lazy as humans. So set them up for success. And then don't just say, put your shoes away. You've got to train them. Okay, come on. Oh, let's have fun. Where can we put our shoes? What kind of cubby hole do we want? Get them involved in the process from the beginning. And then those first couple of times, have them walk everything over and then reward them with something. And then, you know, depending on the age, how does it, oh, doesn't our living room feel so much better that the shoes aren't the middle of the floor and mommy and daddy don't have to worry about tripping? And, you know, talk to them about the benefits so that they can start to understand that.
Such a great point. And actually, as you were saying that, I recognize that my daughter takes off like her sweatshirt randomly in places and it needs to go upstairs. We have a two-story house. And, you know, as you were saying that, I'm like, what if we just had like a little basket at the bottom of the stairs that this all goes up when we go up, but at least it's got a place, right? Yes. And so I love that idea of really setting them up for success because they do want to be helpful. And yeah, when you set that intention of thank you so much for being helpful, thank you for picking up your stuff, thank you for putting it in the right place, I think that that really reaffirms that organization in them. Yes. But it is frustrating at the time when the shoes are everywhere,
right?
And you can't find them when you need to leave. So that's the truth about that. So one of the things you talked about was the inner life. And so when we're evaluating our inner life and really how we're feeling about things, is there a question you would ask yourself to really help you identify if there's something that's maybe keeping you stuck in that place of keeping clutter around? You know, what's the thing that you would say people need to evaluate for that?
There are a couple things. I would say maybe ask you, where am I frustrated? Might be a good starting point. Or where don't I feel content or happy? What's preventing me from finding peace? What makes me happy? And how do I create that path towards joy? You know, just as kind of starting points. You know, I mentioned a moment ago about layers because I think that that is so important. So, you know, maybe you start out with, I'm jealous of Allison because of her awesome launch podcast. And then as you take it down, I like to call it take it down. I'm a pretty simple woman. And then say, well, okay, yeah, I'm jealous of Allison, but really, I'm afraid that I might not be successful. And then I'm afraid maybe if I'm not successful, my husband won't love me. And then maybe if my husband doesn't love me, then he'll leave me. And then maybe it's like you distill it even further and there's a problem within the relationship, and being jealous of Allison's podcast was a way to begin to express that. And then you take it down and figure out, what's it really about? What am I really upset about? What's going on here?
That's a beautiful practice. And I think that's so important because if we can identify those places where we're stuck or that we're blocked, we're able to really be more self-aware. And that's that awareness will create clarity for us, right? The more that you do this inner work, the easier it is for you to show up as that best version of yourself. Because I believe, and I'm sure you do too, Julie, that there is a purpose for each and every one of us,
absolutely,
right? And we don't need to compare or compete. And our houses don't need to be perfect at all the time, you know, all the times. And that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is really owning you know, who you are and owning your space and feeling proud of it. And once you can do that, it's amazing because it'll trickle into every other area of your life, right?
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah, I love that. So one other question I wanted to ask you is, what are the two things you've done in your life to launch to the next level?
Oh, that's a really good question. Well, I would say I've decluttered my life because I have to practice what I preach, but I'll put that under the umbrella of personal growth. So I work with a coach. I'm always, how can I be the best version of me? And so it's something that I constantly work on. I used to think when I was younger, there was kind of this end point that I was going to reach. I didn't know what it looked like, but I'm climbing that mountain. And what I've learned is it's more like a spiral, because sometimes I'll come up and sometimes I'll slip down. And I've learned to give myself grace. It's not a mistake if I've learned something. How could I, if I don't know something, but at least I made the effort to try. And so I think that personal growth is a huge part of leveling up. And then the other thing I would say, I'm going to change my answers from what I originally submitted, is self-care, because I'm going through a really crazy time in my life and self-care has become so important. It's like about shutting off and not doing your business 24/7. How am I taking care of me? What am I? Because I can't be my best for my clients if I'm a hot mess and stressed out all the time. And so incorporating self-care into my daily routine. And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be taking a walk. It can be sitting with my eyes closed for 5 minutes and taking some deep breaths, but making sure that I'm at my best by taking care of myself.
I love that you said that, because we were just having this conversation with some friends and they asked me, what am I doing for self-care? And am I being intentional about that? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm making that a priority in my life right now. And the fact that after you do that self-care, and the fact that nobody else is going to do this for you, my friends,
right? Exactly.
Nobody else can do self-care for you. And for a long time, I thought it was selfish to do self-care because I'm a mom and I have all these little people relying on me and I have businesses and I have all these different things. I gave myself excuses for why self-care was selfish. Working out was selfish, you know, doing all these things that I needed to do for myself. But what I recognize is that was a false belief. Right? That was a belief that I think, you know, I grew up with because I had a single mom that was working constantly and that was doing all the things for everybody all the time. And she was putting herself second all the time. And so I thought that's what my life needed to look like too. And I recognized in order to show up as my best self, I needed to put myself first. And as we are whole and healthy and happy, that's how we can show up for others and be whole and happy and healthy for them. And that's a beautiful thing.
And we model that and we give other people permission to take care of themselves because they see she's doing it and she's a success. She hasn't lost business. She's actually gained business because of her frame of mind, because everything's energy. And so you attract that and bring that into your life.
Right. Everything is energy. And I feel like when you are happy and relaxed and in that peaceful state, you'll be amazed. I used to have this thought process that we needed to hustle. Or we needed to just go and kill yourself or burn yourself out in order to be a quote unquote success, right? Because that's the image that we see a lot of times, but I believe it's quite opposite, right? I don't like the word hustle. I believe that
I don't either.
The more you put your time and energy and focus into being the best version of you by taking care of yourself, then you're going to attract the right types of opportunities and the people and all of the things, because you're showing up happy and positive and energetic.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing. And I love that.
And authentic. And helps you be more authentic.
Yes. Which trickles into organization, right? Whether that's mentalization or physical organization or all that decluttering, it brings clarity, doesn't it?
1,000%. And then you know what matters most. So that's where you put your energy. You're not wasting it on stuff that's not important.
Right? You're not wasting it on stuff that's not important. I love that. And with that beautiful message, I think we have had such an amazing time with you, Julie. Thank you so much for offering your expertise on the Launch Podcast. How do people get a hold of you?
If they go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com, they can find about my books, classes, more about me, and how I can support them.
Amazing. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Julie. I appreciate you and your time. Thank you to all of our listeners for being a part of the Launch Podcast community. Make sure you share this episode with somebody that you love in your life who maybe needs to declutter their life, whether that's internally or externally. You know, what we do is we look for ways to share these stories to help serve others, right? And you just never know who's asking for this, right? Maybe it's a prayer or a message that they put out there into the universe, and you might be the person who helps them today to feel more clarity, to feel less stressed out, and to feel more like themselves. So thanks again, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.